Still, however, with my eye on the injunction, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was not able to see how I should do this, so that it should be indeed and in truth a reality in the sight of God, and nothing short of that would satisfy me for a moment. I now remembered that blessed promise of our divine and glorious and loving Savior. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall guide you into all truth. He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I now cast myself down before the Lord, and prayed in the name of Christ, that the Holy Spirit might guide me into all truth, respecting the passage before me, and teach me how to reckon myself dead to sin and alive to God, so that it would be a reality, and not a thing of imagination. Having made known my request, I trusted in Christ that the teachings of the Spirit would be given me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. I therefore placed my confidence in the Savior, and believed that, for His sake, the Holy Spirit would show me how to reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Instantly, while I was even on my knees, with the blessed Bible open before me, on those words, there seemed shed upon them a flood of heavenly light, and my very soul was filled with unutterable gladness, with joy unspeakable and full of glory, with the thought that seemed clear as the brightness of a thousand suns, that I was to reckon myself dead unto sin by trusting my Lord Jesus Christ to keep me dead to sin and alive to God, by trusting my Lord Jesus Christ to keep me alive to God. This I saw would be reckoning myself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ my Lord. It was to cease forever from placing my confidence in my own strength, and to rely altogether upon the strength and faithfulness of my blessed Lord Jesus Christ, to make and keep me pure within, to make and keep me dead indeed unto sin, to make and keep me alive unto God. And now, if I had found myself that moment monarch of the world, with its crown on my head, its scepter in my hand, its accumulated treasures at my feet, and every individual among its multitudes ready to do my bidding, it should not have begun to afford me the joy which I felt when I saw, as I then did, the privilege which a God of infinite love had granted me, to reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, by trusting my Lord Jesus Christ to make and keep me thus alive. How glorious and lovely did my Savior then appear! Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. And if the crown and the scepter and the riches and the homage of the world had been mine, I should have leaped for joy and run to give Christ the scepter and the crown, the riches and the homage, and to lay myself in the dust at His feet, to be the humblest, lowliest servant forevermore. Oh, since I have known my high privilege to reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord, His name has been indeed to me as ointment poured forth. He has kissed me with the kisses of His love. He has drawn me, and I have run after Him. And the King has brought me into His chambers, and made me to be glad and rejoice in Him. Therefore will I remember His love more than wine, and by His strength I will uprightly love Him. When the Holy Spirit thus enlightened me, respecting the privilege of reckoning myself dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ my Lord, He that moment enabled me to avail myself of the privilege, and I instantly found myself more than restored to that blessed state of conscious purity of heart before God, from which I had fallen, by refusing to confess before men what my Savior had done for me. The love of the world was gone. no sinful indulgence had any charm for me. My whole heart was won by Christ and filled with overflowing love to Him. And I feel that 1,000 hearts, had they been mine, would have been most joyfully consecrated to His service. I had no will but His, and no desire of life or death or eternity, but to be disposed of in that way which would secure the highest possible praise to my Redeemer. I was now delivered from the fear of man, and as I had covenanted with the Lord to confess His faithfulness to the world, when He should give me evidence on which I could rely, that I was redeemed from all iniquity, and as I had now found myself, and in any way so glorious and delightful beyond everything I had ever before conceived, made dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord, and had been so abundantly enlightened respecting the privilege of every Christian to be kept in that state by the faithfulness of the dear Redeemer, I could not for a moment hesitate that it was my duty to declare to the world that by the power of the Holy Spirit, given me by my own blessed Savior, I was made dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Besides, I had once known the bitterness of denying my Savior here, and the blessed work which He had wrought in me for the purpose of retaining the good opinion of man. The Holy Spirit had set that sin before me, and I had opened my mouth to the Lord that if He would restore me, I would bear His reproach. And now He had enabled me once more in His infinite and abounding mercy with the heart to believe unto righteousness. And it remained that with the mouth I make confession unto salvation, from falling again into the snare of the devil. I have been enabled to make this confession to the world, that the great God and my Savior Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me, has redeemed me from all iniquity, and purified me unto Himself, that I am dead unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. That the God of peace is faithful to sanctify me wholly, and to preserve my whole spirit and soul and body blameless unto the coming of my Lord Jesus Christ. That the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, does, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make me perfect in every good work to do His will, working in me that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I felt that in making this confession, I was laying myself and my all a sacrifice on the altar of my God and Savior. But that Savior had led me by His own amazing love and given me a heart that could deny Him no more, and that was ready and glad at all hazards to confess His faithfulness and power and love to the world. I knew that the world would reproach me. I knew that God's professed people would cast out my name as evil. I knew that the friends whom I loved most dearly would, many of them, perhaps, weep over me as lost. I knew that the confidence of the churches with which I stood connected would be withdrawn from me, and perhaps all my past prospects of a maintenance of myself and my household be entirely cut off. But I knew that my Redeemer lived, and that all power was given unto Him in heaven and on earth, and that I had only to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, nothing doubting that He who feeds the fowls of the air and clothes the lilies of the field, as Solomon was never arrayed in all his glory, would surely feed and clothe me and mine. In this state of mind I did, at the altar of my God, make confession of what God had taught me of His truth, and of what I had been made to feel of His purifying, sanctifying grace in Jesus Christ. And thus I discharged a duty, to which I am sure I never could have been led by anything, but a once crucified and now glorified Savior's love, manifested to me by the Holy Ghost. I had no more doubt that I was constrained to this step by the love of Christ than I have that Christ or my own soul has a being. I know I was not led to it by a love of the world, for I never could have done it until the last vestige of the love of the world had been taken from me. I know that until I had made of the whole world an entire sacrifice to Christ, I never could have thus held myself up to scorn. On the morning of the day which immediately followed the Sabbath, when I first witnessed this confession, before men, I had a season of communion with God, of which I will speak, because I think it may do good. I was alone in my chamber, and meditating upon some passages of Scripture which made mention of the faithfulness of God, such as the following: God is faithful, by whom ye are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Faithful is He that calleth you, to sanctify you wholly, and to preserve your whole spirit and soul and body blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for your escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Revelation 19:11. His name is also called the Word of God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:16. While reflecting thus upon the faithfulness of my God and Savior, my whole soul seemed heaped with inexpressible emotions and poured out in floods of gushing love at my Savior's feet. I felt that I had forsaken all for Him and could now only leave myself in His hands and commit all my interests to His disposal. And now, in view of the safety of trusting my all with Him, my soul exulted with amazing gladness, and I could only walk my room weeping aloud for joy, and pouring out my tears of overflowing delight, as I uttered again and again the single expression, My faithful God! My faithful God! Since that time I have had various conflicts with Satan, but I have never for a moment doubted the faithfulness of my Redeemer in saving all His people from their sins, who will believe on His name for that blessing. And I see most clearly that the only reason why any Christian is not saved from sin is because of unbelief. Romans 11:20. I have by no means been all that I hope or expect to be, for I see that it is the privilege of the Christian that has been redeemed from all iniquity still to forget the things which are behind, and reach forth unto those which are before, and beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, to be changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. I believe that to be cleansed from all unrighteousness is by no means the height of the Christian's privilege on earth, that beyond that he may go on to comprehend with all saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, and be filled more and more with all the fullness of God, and that even then we may still say to him with the apostle, Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. You will now see, brethren, in what I have related to you of the leadings and teachings of God's Spirit with my own soul, why I cannot regard your admonition and desist from preaching the doctrine of entire sanctification by faith in Christ. I could not do it without regarding myself as a traitor to my blessed Lord and Master, who has made to me a miserable, unworthy, hell-deserving worm of the dust, manifestations of His presence and love, bright and glorious, far beyond anything which I once could have conceived. I believe He is faithful to sanctify His people wholly, and to preserve their whole spirit and soul and body blameless to His coming. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I feel that necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not this gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Like Jonah fleeing to Tarshish, I once attempted to escape the discharge of the duty. Like Jeremiah, I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart, a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing, and could not stay. Once I denied the faithfulness of my Redeemer, but he forgave me, and has restored me to the enjoyment of his love, and has, as I firmly believe, in faithfulness to his own promise, circumcised my heart to love him with all my heart and with all my soul. I must speak it to the world. Let him have the glory, and let me bear the reproach which I must bear for his sake. I must confess it to the world for the purpose of making it known, as far as I am able, with his blessing, to all God's people their high privileges in Christ Jesus. For I certify you, brethren, that this gospel which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:11-12. And now, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for I cannot but speak the things which I have seen and heard. Acts 4:19-20.